Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Whether you're joining with us here on this beautiful Sunday morning in St. John's, or whether you're joining us via the live stream, we're pleased that you are with us. I have to say this first before we go any further. Summers are interesting times in churches. Amongst other things, staff go on vacation, and so ministers start working ahead. 2 and 3 and 4 weeks of calls to worship and prayers. And the thought that was in my mind as I was sending all of that information off to Olivia this week was to go, now remember that we're working ahead, and these are not the hymns for this week. 5 minutes ago, sitting in my office, it dawned on me, today is not the 20th of July, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 13th of July. But if you look at the file that's open on my tablet before me, it says the 20th of July. So I'm going to work very, very hard to follow the screens this morning. If anything is wrong, like a call to worship, just somebody has to go, whoa, 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 not that one. Because I have put all of today's service into the pro forma for tomorrow, for next week's service. Because we're working ahead and summers are interesting times in churches. So, mea culpa and forgiveness in advance, but that's just where we are this morning. Too hot. Too hot. Just a note for folks, the Doors Open Working Group is going to meet tomorrow morning at 10:30 downstairs as we prepare as a congregation to take part in the Doors Open event later this summer here in Cornwall. So if you want to come and be part of the planning for that, please feel free to join us. We did have one meeting last week, but we'd welcome you regardless of whether you were at that meeting or not. And in related to that, we are looking for volunteers who will help with the hosting part of that. It's good to have people here in the building to greet people as they enter, to make sure they have the information that has been prepared. And so if you are able to give an hour or two of your time on the 16th of August, which is the date of the Doors Open event here in the Tri-Counties, that would be great. And I said you could speak to Carol or Anita for that regard. I meant to send them an email and say I was giving them an extra job and I forgot. So, but there you go. I'm still looking for folks who might be interested in doing some work on a stewardship working group as we look toward the fall and our stewardship series for this year. I believe that's all of the announcements for this morning. We light the Christ candle as we enter worship, as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we that are his, who are his people, seek to walk in his path. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear on the screen, and I will follow it. What do we have to boast about? And what does this cross mean for us?
Everything is a new creation.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism you called us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us courage, like you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we come in worship this morning, we enter in praise, singing hymn 371, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, hymn 371. secure in the promise of God's knowledge of us, and trusting in God's readiness to forgive. Let us come now, confessing our sins as they appear before us on the screens in the prayer of confession. Holy God, fountain of all blessing and grace, we confess there are times when we look at our work, at our accomplishments, with prideful ambitions, as if we were the source of our abilities and gifts. At other times, we look at our efforts with disgust and regret, as if your gifts in us are not enough. Forgive our pride and our despair, Holy God. Renew in us a humble trust in your guiding hand and a hope that your grace is sufficient for every step. Give us the courage to begin again, to jump into a new start with you and one another. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, hear and believe the good news. God's mercy and peace are upon you this day and forevermore. Through Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us turn in the book of praise to sing the hymn 229, or as it appears before you on the screen, the hymn, Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, number 229. Andrea is the youngest here this morning. I won't ask you to come up, Andrea. But a reminder, if we do have young people in the house, if you have a young person who travels with you during the summer or who you happen to be sitting next to someone who has brought a young person, remind them that our activity bags are at the back and are ready for them to be used throughout the summer. I was thinking about this week, that inside the activity bag this year, instead of just being individual seats, is a whole coloring book. So if young people do come, encourage them to sign their name on the front and to leave the bag in their pew, and they will have activities for the entire summer, God willing. So just a reminder of that. And as we come this morning, I'm not going to do the whole children's story with you all. You're sufficiently older that it's not really relevant for you. You know that you need to clean up before you go to bed and all of those things, which was part of the story. However, it does draw us into the conversation about what is it that God requires of us? What are the things that we should do that are appropriate to the living out of our faith? So as we listen to the sermon this morning, please keep your ears open for that message as we come in worship. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Your word, O Lord, is our inspiration, our light, and our motion. Your word, O Lord, is power, wisdom, and comfort. Guide us today as we listen to the word read and proclaimed, and fill us with understanding and with the desire to change. Speak, Lord, your people listen. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 14, and it's page 340 in the Old Testament in your Bible. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from a skin disease. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go, then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman. Then you may cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of a skin disease? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the disease. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The second reading is a responsive reading, and it's Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me.
O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I say in my prosperity, I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed.
To the Lord I made supplication.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
So that my soul may praise you and not be silent. Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
And the last reading is from the Galatians chapter 6, reading verses 7 through to 16. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God.
Once more, let us sing to the Lord. Hymn 722, Lord, Whose Love, number 722, or as it appears before you on the screens.
Offered mercy.
Our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the gospel according to Luke, reading Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 and 16 to 20. Let us listen for God's word to his people. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in prayers to every town and place where he intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say to them, 'Peace be to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Let yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Hey, you! You over there! Hey! Hey! Have you ever tried to get somebody's attention? Calling out to them, waving your arms perhaps, anything that will cause them to stop for a minute and turn. It's easy enough, I guess, in a physical sense. You can yell, you can scream, you can jump up and down and wave your hands. But what about when you're writing a letter? How do you get people's attention then? It's easy for us, of course, in a modern-day society. We have word processors at our disposal, and we can click the little button to make our text on the screen bold, or the button beside it to render the text on the screen into italics, or the button beside that and underline the words that we wish to draw attention to. And if we really want their attention, we do all three. Bold, italics, underlined. Surely they won't miss that. But the one thing that you would never do is use all uppercase letters. Because if in keyboard etiquette of the digital age, if you use all uppercase letters, then you're screaming at people. Nobody likes to be screamed at. And yet, for many of us, for most of us here, we can remember back before the computer age, and the use of uppercase type was the only way to draw attention to words in a document that were produced on an Underwood manual typewriter. This is where we join Paul this morning in his letter to the Christian community in Galatia. Paul often dictated parts of his letters to scribes who would write down his words for him, his fellow traveling companions. So often in Paul's letters, right, we will hear Paul gives his greeting to the church. And he says, greetings from myself and from Timothy and Silas, and the guys who are traveling along with him. And truth be told, the guys who are probably going to write out most of that particular letter. Paul dictated a lot of these letters. But we know that Paul always wrote the opening, that greeting, grace to you and peace, or however he chose to word it to that particular congregation of faith. And he always wrote the end, the closing of the letter. Unless the people of Galatia missed the point that here at the conclusion of this letter to them, that Paul had taken the pen away from Silas or whoever was writing the letter, Paul draws attention to it. He says, see what big letters I write in my own hand. He says, pay attention. This is important. And this has the weight of the apostle. Underscore, underscore, underscore. Pay attention to this. Now, for the past couple of weeks, we have been exploring the major themes that are found in Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, that town in the kind of the center of what is now the country of Turkey. His encouragement to the Jewish Christians to make room for the new Gentile converts and to welcome them without precondition. And here in the concluding verses, Paul returns to this controversy and addresses it once more. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who try to compel you to be circumcised, he says, only they may not be only that they may not be persecuted by the church. Hear what Paul writes. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. 2 weeks ago, we explored this central premise of this controversy to the Galatian church in quite a bit of detail. A desire on the part of the Jewish Christians who lived in Galatia to avoid the persecution of the Roman authorities because of the understanding that existed between Rome and the Jewish people that the Jews just weren't going to worship Caesar. And so if Rome was going to keep control, Rome just had to humor them a little bit. Because of the Jewish faithfulness. But the controversy here was that these new Gentiles, they weren't Jewish. And so the Christian church was afraid that there would be persecution arising. That's the thumbnail version. I would encourage you to go back to that sermon via the live stream or the podcast for more detail if you missed that particular Sunday of what's going on there. But suffice it to say, Paul here continues to make the case that the law of the Old Testament, it was an imperfect tool. It was a break on our human tendency to sin, but it did not remove sinfulness from us. The law set the limits in which the people of faith could live. But only Christ could take their sin completely away. And that is what Paul is saying here. Thus, for these Jewish Christians in Galatia who required new converts to believe in the law, and this being symbolized by undergoing the act of circumcision, was to place their trust in an imperfect tool. But for full salvation to come, it would come, Paul says, not through the law, but through the life of Jesus Christ, who through his crucifixion has put to death our sin and death, the things of our earthly bodies. And I think Paul would argue, although he does not say it, so this is interpretation by the minister moment. This and $2 get you a cup of coffee at Tim Hortons. But I think Paul argues that in Christ, Christ even puts to death the law, as the law is nothing more than the mere arbiter and describer of sin, but not the remedy. But in Christ, and life lived in Christ's love, we return to God's garden from Genesis chapter 3, and the goodness of creation that was last witnessed there. The mission of the Christian church is nothing less than the proclamation of God's love to all people and the recovery of that most perfect relationship that exists between us and God in Eden's bounty. For we who are the church today, Paul's message to the church continues to resonate down the hallways of far too many church buildings. To open our doors and our hearts so that others may find their place within our churches and within the kingdom of God is Paul's invitation, and it is the church's struggle. A couple of weeks ago, in my weekly preparations for worship, I encountered the following quotation, and this quotation has stuck with me these past couple of weeks. Every time it kind of rattled around in my mind, and every time there was a moment of not being busy thinking about something else, you know, this thought would pop into my head, and it goes like this. One does not become a Christian and then join the church. One joins the church in becoming a Christian. We'll leave those words there for a moment for you. One does not become a Christian and then join the church, but rather one joins the church in becoming a Christian. Far too many churches, you see, erect barriers to those who would become part of us. They are not part of the established family. That can be a barrier. They are not dressed like us or look like us. That can be a barrier. They may not 100% meet our standard of orthodoxy. They may not believe exactly the way we would like them to. And sometimes we don't believe exactly the way they like us to either. Simply put, we may not know them. Simply put. At one level, it's a natural reaction to something or someone that is new. New things, new ideas, new people, new patterns are seen by our brains as being different. Our brains, at their most basic level, look at things very simply. This is of us. This is not of us. And if something is not of us, then the brain's job is to dump a number of very powerful chemicals into our bloodstream to attack that which is different. And sometimes that's a great thing. Sometimes we call that the immune system. Heard of it, right? This is what the immune system is based upon, and it's how we respond to viruses and things that attack our body. Our brain dumps these powerful chemicals in and activates the body's defensive responses. but it becomes a barrier when it comes to welcoming new people or making changes to what we do as a congregation so that others might feel like they are welcomed. It can lead the Galatian church to demanding that everyone who comes must become just like them, circumcised, followers of the law, devout Jews, before they can become part of the church. What does it mean for us here at St. John's? Many years ago, too many to mention, maybe 20, 25, my parents related the story of visiting a small rural congregation in New Brunswick. And they noted that they were able to walk into the church and walk back out again. And not a single person greeted them, said hello to them, asked where they were from. Nobody welcomed them. I was trying to recall for sure. I'm not even convinced the minister greeted them with anything more than a perfunctory good morning. Now, several years later, I moved to that presbytery, and I came to know that congregation. Fleur probably knows that congregation. I came to know the representative elder, and Earl was a great guy. You'd love to sit with him at the presbytery lunch. He would regale you with stories. He was a fine, fine fellow. Some of the folks from that community who had grown up in that congregation had moved over time to Fredericton and had moved into my congregation, and they were good folks. They were very, very, cheerful and engaging. And if you asked them to describe their church, I'm sure they all would have said, "Oh, it's a friendly church." They met each week in worship. And while they were there, they would connect with their family and their neighbors and friends in the worshiping community. But they didn't recognize the newcomers who were in their midst. And indeed, I had a very similar experience during holidays last summer, walking into a church that we'd never worshipped in before. And we were able to walk in, walk out, and not a single soul said good morning, said, "How are you this morning?" said, "Welcome to worship. Where are you from?" I'm not even sure the minister said hello to us. How easy it is to stick to our own. But that's not the calling of the church. The calling of the church is to tear down the walls that separate us one from another, that the love of God may be manifest to the least among us. Acknowledging that each one of us is a pilgrim along the way, that each one of us joins the church so that at some point we will become a Christian. We are never a fully formed Christian, so that we're out there looking for that one doctrinally pure church that we can sit in and be comfortable. No, we are sinners seeking to know and experience God's love more and more each day, looking for a church that makes God's love known and makes room for the strangers among us as a manifestation of the love of God. For the kingdom of God, Paul would say, shows no partiality. For neither circumcision or uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation, that's it all. Let us work that we might be part of God's new creation, and let us give thanks to God. This morning's affirmation of faith, I'll give you the screen back, Alex. This morning's affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. The Creed is found on page 539 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. And so that you can release yourself from the pew to which you are stuck, I would invite you to stand as we come into God's presence. As we do so, we join our voices with the Church of Jesus Christ across all time and space as we say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. What shall I render to the Lord for the many blessings that God has given to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Compassionate God, who strengthens us for the journey of faith, we bring these gifts in response to your calling to sow seeds of love and justice. May our offerings build up the family of faith and extend your grace to the world beyond. Help us not to grow weary in doing good, but to serve with joy and perseverance. Trusting that the harvest of your Spirit will bear fruit in due season, unite us as your new creation, made whole through Christ's love and empowered by your Spirit. In gratitude, we dedicate our lives, all that we have and all that we are, to your service. Amen. As we turn in prayer this morning, it wasn't intentional, but isn't it good that this morning we learned about the work that the Presbyterian Church in Canada is doing in Ghana, as we saw the mission moment during the time of the offering, and that we sang a Ghanaian hymn, Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, earlier in the worship service. Through hymnody, amongst other things, as one of those acts that unites us as the worldwide church together as we learn hymns from countries far away. And, of course, they have sing many of the hymns that are known to us as well. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of prophets and of disciples, you have heard the plea of your people through the ages. Hear us now as we present to you those things that burden us and grant us your peace. Hear us as we pray for those who are sick. Grant to them hope that they may feel through your presence and the presence of others comfort and support. Grant them patience that they may live in your time and in your will. We believe in the power of your healing, O God. Touch the lives of those we love. Hear us as we pray for those who live in constant conflict. Bring your wisdom to their lives. Enable them, to your people, to learn from you, whose anger lasts only a moment, but whose favor lasts a lifetime. Allow our anger to last only a moment, that we might put all our efforts toward the work of reconciliation and peace. Hear us as we pray for those who feel imprisoned by temptation and sin. Lead us to examine ourselves and our lives, that we might come to know more clearly your will for us. We pray for your church. Give us the courage to be true disciples. The world outside these walls can be challenging, and yet others watch us as we witness and we act. Give us wisdom so that we might better reflect your actions of love and mercy, so that our families, our communities, our countries, and our countries might understand what your kingdom is all about. We pray all of these things in the name of your perfect witness on earth, Jesus the Christ, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is number 638 in the Book of Praise. Take Time to Be Holy, number 638, or as it appears before you on the screen. Now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.